Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. The Cougs are rolling at 3-0, heading into conference play after taking down SEC foe Arkansas in a back-and-forth battle that lasted up until the last second. The Kansas Jayhawks now welcome BYU to Lawrence as the Cougars' first conference opponent in the Big 12 era in a fight to remain undefeated. For today's roundtable discussion, we have BYU Sports Nation host and play-by-play Jerem Jordan.
Hey!
What's up? Along with one of Broncos' Band of Brothers, former DB and current BYU TV sports analyst, Brian Logan.
Vamos.
I saw him Friday, by the way. Bronco.
Where at?
You did?
In Provo.
No,
he was
you
at
didn't.
PF Chang's, and we had an enjoyable 3-minute conversation.
Don't spread rumors.
I'm really jealous.
It was great.
What was he doing?
He was so at PF Chang's, typically you eat food. So he was having dinner.
In Provo, Jeremy.
He was with his son Cutter, who goes to BYU.
Okay.
And he's gonna have two more kids at BYU.
And
so he's gonna have three.
And he was
Cutter's
up, Jeremy?
The oldest, right?
Well, I went over and said hey. And he looked at me at first like, oh, here's a fan. And then he kind of realized, oh, it's you.
Got his napkin out to start signing it.
I'm like, I'm good. No, it's great to see him. It's great to see him.
Well, nice. There you go. Broncos back. Yep. Just kidding.
Let's
not spread that rumor.
Ain't no need on the D.
You know what?
Jay Hill's got it going.
I know.
This feels really weird to say this, but yeah, there is no need.
BYU's in good shape.
Not have thought we would say there's no room for Bronco Mendenhall back at BYU, but I mean,
currently on the defense as is currently constant.
Right.
You know, I think they would make a spot if there was mutual interest, but I think it's taken care of.
It'd be awkward right now. You need probably another decade. Love Bronco.
Right.
He needs some time.
He does need some time. Well, that was a good story. Thanks for
starting
off with that.
Yeah.
That's good to have you guys.
Who else have I seen around town?
Celebrity sightings. I want to know from you guys, how does your fan side react differently from your analyst side when BYU wins a big game like that? Does that make sense? Jerem, let's start with you.
Yeah. Well, first off, I was calling a rugby game Saturday night. So I was at America First Field. And the game had ended like an hour before. So I finished the game. I talked to some people on the field, blah, blah, blah. So I go back up to the booth where I can be isolated. No one's going to tell me, hey, BYU won.
Right.
And so I'm watching on YouTube TV on my laptop by myself, just the people with the blowers going through the stands, cleaning up. It's just me and them. And I'm watching this game, and I'm just 100% fan at that point.
Yeah.
And it's just enjoyable to see BYU responding through adversity, to have Arkansas go on multiple runs of 14 and 17, but BYU responds with, 17 and 21?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, BYU got kicked, but kicked back. And BYU goes to SEC country, gets this win. BYU's extremely flawed on offense, but they make enough plays to put up 38 against a team that really took it to them last year. The defense played well. Special teams played well outside of the punt return and the two fakes this year, which are weird. But yeah, BYU's playing complimentary football.
I love the fakes.
And it's just fun to enjoy the win, you know. When I'm in the press box at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, no cheering. If I'm on the game day set with the guys,
you get kicked out of the press box.
Yeah,
people know that.
You would get kicked out.
Like, you literally cannot cheer at all in the press box.
Is that why it's so
you cannot do it.
It's very quiet in there.
It's a reverent, holy place, Brian. But when
I feel the vibes and energy anywhere, and because quiet,
don't go in the press box, and you don't have a seat in there anyway, because the game day set is where you guys hang out.
I really
in fact, I'll typically spend the first half up there and kind of just get out my tweets at that point, and then go back for the post game, and then the second half I like to enjoy and watch with Brian and David and Blaine and Dave, and pick your brains too on what you guys are seeing, because I don't know the X's and O's as much as you guys know them, and that's fun. So it's fun to sort of mix and mingle the fandom, the journalist, the infotainer, you know, because we get paid by Brigham, all of those things. It's great.
I'm an analyst when I'm doing this stuff right here.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm off, I'm a fan. And I'm a little embarrassed to tell you how my fan experience was during that game.
Let's hear it.
after the first two touchdowns, 14-0, I said some words that were rated PG-13R, and in the green room, and I was like, "We suck! Oh my gosh, we suck! We suck!" I was like the Debbie Downer all game.
Well, at the moment, BYU did.
All
you were correct
game,
in the moment.
All game. You can ask Uncle B, as Nixon. I was like, "See, told you he was gonna lose. Told you." See, and then we'd come back, and they look at me, right? Whenever we come back, whenever BYU came back, they'd look at me, and I'd be like, just wait, watch it.
What the heck, just Brian? Wait.
This is why I left the pre- and post-game show. I was too tired of no, I'm just kidding.
Brian bringing the negativity.
And, you know, and that's not, that's, I don't want to say it's rare for me.
Yeah.
It's just, I thought that we were going to get blown out. You know,
yeah, that's how you express your frustration.
That's okay.
And I'm giving you my fan.
Yes,
as a fan,
that was
right?
Your fan experience.
I'm not looking at it, you know, as an analyst. I'm just looking at it as a fan, and I'm like, as a fan, I think any normal or average BYU fan felt probably the same way. They probably didn't say that we suck, but they're probably like, oh shoot, this is not going to end well.
Yeah.
And so.
Not again. Last year, this year,
you know, when we were on the post game, you could see the beginning. You know, David, he's still wiping. He's still like massaging his head from the emotions that he had, right? And everybody had emotions except for me, because I had set the expectations when BYU was down 14-0 that we were going to lose. So every time we went high and then going low and then went high and went low again. I was even killed with the expectations.
Yeah, you just kept it.
We're
going
to lose. So then,
look at that Bronco influence on you.
That does sound very Bronco-esque, actually.
You know, at the end of the day, though, I told Uncle B too. I was like, Uncle, man, I feel bad for not believing.
Yeah.
And
don't do it again.
And but you know what? I think it was just previous teams, right? Like, there's certain situations that go on in games, and what do we say? Typical BYU. It's like, oh, we're like, oh, this always happens.
Yeah.
And a lot of different sports, too, not just football. It's like, man, why? How come every time we play a backup, you know, walk-on quarterback, he has an all-American, right? It's like, so to me, it was one of those scenarios, like, based off of, you know, past traumas, I was like, this is typical BYU. Play a big time opponent, a big time game. We're undefeated. Blah blah blah. Like, this is typical.
Big stage.
And so I just felt bad because I was like, this is not what I'm used to seeing. You know, in the past, right, where BYU gets, you know, knocked at, like, punched in the mouth, and gets back up and punches back. They usually, you know, get knocked in the mouth and then stay down. You know, turn around, get you know, get stepped on. You know what I'm saying? Like, the beating continues and. You know, I didn't see that this time, so I felt bad for, you know, not believing. But I think it's a testament to Kalani and the culture that he's established that, you know what, it's okay to get punched in the mouth if you punch back.
That was one of the most important things I saw from BYU. I feel like you can throw out so many numbers of the offense, the defense, and things that happen, but the most important thing from my eyes that happened is BYU's resiliency, because I feel like that isn't something we see year in and year out with every single team, but it's definitely something we saw against Arkansas. You go 14 down, and I'm sure half the fans, if not more, had the same reaction, like, oh, there it goes, game's over. I definitely didn't, okay?
You didn't dip your toe in the superlative well that Brian likes to visit every time.
Every
never.
Single, always.
Always.
Yeah, I was just so impressed. Even in the second half, they go down 10. They didn't panic. Maybe they did. They didn't show it. They found a way to come back, and I think that was the most important takeaway that I took from that game heading into Big 12 play. Is BYU, hey, this is a resilient and gritty team. It might not be pretty, but they can get it done. Even when it looks like it's not going to happen and everyone's against them, they got it done. Let's bring on a guy that came on our show last week. A guy, very important one, named Johnny Linehan.
Johnny Rugby.
I want to get his perspective on what he saw during the game, the ups and downs, especially because there was a lot on the line. Johnny, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Doing well. Great to be back.
Yeah, good to have you on here. So, Johnny, last week you said you were doubtful. I'm going to just throw it out there that BYU was going to beat Arkansas. You said if BYU won, you were going to run the Y three times in a weighted vest, lo and behold, what was your reaction when BYU won?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I remember watching it. My wife goes to bed at like 4:30 in the afternoon, so we get football nights to myself. That's a bit of an exaggeration. It's closer to 8 o'clock. But I was watching it kind of in the room, and we had some sick kids there in the bed as well, so the lights were off. And then the end of the game, we started the game right, and I was expecting a loss, and I wasn't expecting it to be close. So we started the game, and they went and had that rushing touchdown, and I was like, okay. And then they had the punt return touchdown, and I just kind of was about to tweet, oh, that's it, it's a wrap, it's over, similar to Brian, right? But then I kept watching. I wasn't upset that they went down. It was kind of expected. But then they clawed me back in, right? They got me in as they put together a run, the nice pass from Parker Kingston, my new favorite player. That was such a sweet play.
I heard then, you were going to have another child and name him Parker.
So no, we're just going to rename some.
Oh,
we
rename, okay.
We can't afford the stress of having another child. Just, four is four too many.
Just rename him. I love it. Well, keep going.
Yeah, no, I loved it towards the end, right? When KJ got a hit and it popped up for the easiest interception that Jacob Robinson will ever have. I jumped in the air, almost hit the fan, and then he dropped it. I was like, no, dude, similar to Brian. Here we go. But so impressed with how many people stepped up. It was very difficult to choose just one player of the game because there are so many dudes, and that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I love it. And then you did, in fact, you are a man of your word. And you ran the Y three times in a weighted vest on Tuesday. What was that like? Because it makes me want to die even thinking about it.
Yes, severely underestimated and forgot how difficult hiking the Y is. And I would use the term run very loosely. I think the initial intent in my mind was, oh, it's just a mile up. It's a mile down. It would take me an hour and I could probably run it. It's really steep. Right. And
yeah.
I mean, I need BYU to get me some new Nikes because I'm running low. So but it was actually kind of fun. It's weird to say. It was very difficult because it took me 2 hours. And I started with a light gray shirt and ended with a dark gray kind of block shirt. But it was pretty sweet. So I walk up the top the first time and the lacrosse team is up there having their beginning of the season team discussion. And then on the way up the second time, I see the tennis team. But it was also pretty motivating because you see a lot of old people with their hiking sticks just hiking the Y and wearing BYU gear. And it was actually pretty cool. I should do it more often, and I'd encourage every team to do it as a team building experience because it's pretty cool. And it's really a short hike, but doing it three times with a weighted vest was pretty difficult. But if we're going to win an SEC and win these P5 games, I'll do it every week.
Was anyone like, Johnny, why are you wearing a bulletproof vest while running the Y?
We had one person on Twitter, and it was actually funny because after I posted it, someone replied to my tweet being like, oh, that's cool, but last week I saw a soldier wearing a 240-pound backpack, and he did it 10 times. Ha! Like, wow. Good for you, sir.
Yes. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, not to downplay anything that you did. I love that you owned up to it. You did it. So I'm going to ask you again for this week, Johnny. What would you do or give up for a BYU win against Kansas in Lawrence this Saturday?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this, and it's something I want to do regardless, but I'd love the team to force me to do it sooner rather than later. But I would like to row on a rowing machine, a marathon. So it'd probably take me 4 hours, I think. And yeah, a year or two ago, I was better trained for it. Now I'm just fat, but really good at Excel spreadsheets. So it would take a little bit of training and recovery, but that's something that I would like to do. And then if that happens, I'd like to do it for a charity, a local charity as well, to try and raise some funds. So BYU's got to come through, and then we'll release some more details, but maybe we'll get that on the roadmap.
Look, I'll deal with you if they win.
All right, yeah. I will too, Jerem.
I'm not going to do that. But you guys are awesome. I love you guys. You guys are great.
If Brian does it, you have to keep your shirt on, though, because then you would be ashamed,
no,
right?
I'm out. Look, man. Look, you must forget I'm single. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just playing. I'll do it. I'll keep my shirt on.
Johnny, if BYU keeps winning and you keep doing this, you're going to look like a Navy SEAL by the end of the year. Keep it up.
Hey, well, then maybe I can please some of the Twitter fans, because right now, yeah, I'm lacking in that regard. But go Cougs. So they got the win.
Oh, I love it. Johnny, you're the best. Thanks for coming on with us again, and go Cougs. And good luck this week.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, no hating on the fakes, Jerem. Won a game. That's what we need. It'll work eventually. Let's go.
I'm hating on the ones that aren't good, the ones that don't work.
Johnny, you're the best. Thanks again for coming on.
See you guys. Go Cougs.
Jerem, how would you feel, though, if they continue to do those fakes? Like, I really want to know your sincere opinion, because Kelly Papinga did say they're going to keep doing them.
Yes. I'm not opposed to the fakes. I'm opposed to ones where they're not even close to being successful. That's what I'm opposed to. I like efficiency. I like success. I like the chains moving. I like scores.
Right.
So if those happen, yes. But honestly, if they do one more and it doesn't work, they may not reasonably be able to do it again, because if they go for four, now it's just nuts, right?
Yeah.
So they've got to get the next one, whenever it is.
Yeah. I kind of love it. I don't know why. I love switching it up. I love when they throw in some surprises here and there.
You like it because BYU's 3-0.
That's true.
If BYU was 1-2 or 2-1 and one of those fakes really cost BYU a game or something, we would not be as keen. Right now, it's all hunky-dory because BYU's got that goose egg on the right side of the column. But
Now, you can laugh about it a little. Like, the fake punts.
Yeah, that winning covers up a lot of sins. That is one of them.
That's true.
The bad fake punts.
I don't like fake punts, on our own 20.
That I will never like, even if they're successful. There's just not enough sort of something to gain. But, they're fun and exciting and like, does it mean that BYU's punt covers better because they're watching BYU? Maybe, you know.
Yeah.
I trust Kelly Papinga, and I like the aggressiveness, but we need to see one that's successful.
Looking at you, Ryan Rico. No, I'm just kidding. Not all on him.
And honestly, a lot of it comes from my love of Ryan Rico. Like, nobody loves Ryan Rico outside of his family more than me, because this dude is the best at his position on the team. Like, he helped BYU beat Arkansas. Because the field position was a real thing. BYU is plus 9 yards.
Absolutely.
It's a massive number. BYU had all these short fields. And BYU scored 38 points on a ridiculous amount of yards, 281. Because the defense played well and they're pinning them back. So don't blow that up with a fake where it messes it up.
Yeah, don't kill the vibe.
Well,
add to the vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And he really is incredible. So we'll see what happens in the future. And hopefully he can convert one. We asked you, the fans, what would you do or give up for a BYU win against Kansas and Lawrence this Saturday? Here's some of your responses. Ben Nichols on X, I don't like saying X, by the way, it sounds so weird, said, I would wear my kook dude suit during general conference with a white shirt and tie, of course, at my home. It sounded cool until he said at my home, but not at the conference center out of fear the security there are actually Ute fans and think I'm some kind of threat to President Nielsen, who is also a Utah alum.
Yeah, let's get weird, but let's not get that weird.
I'm all about getting weird. I think it's a good one. All right, the casual hippie on X said, I'll shave my head and give up caffeinated soda for the rest of the season.
Why would anyone in their right mind say they would shave their head if somebody won something?
Who would
like,
do that?
That would be weird.
Who would do that?
I'm assuming casual hippie's bald already.
I hope so. But caffeinated sodas, that's a big one.
How can we check that?
Like, I don't know.
Like we can
it's
do.
It's the honor code, Brian.
The fans are beholden
on their
to the Twitter honor code.
Yeah, exactly. Brian, what would you do or give up for a BYU win against Kansas on Saturday?
I'm gonna do what Johnny.
Johnny's doing.
But I mean, outside of Johnny, I would I'd probably give up one of my girlfriends.
Gosh.
One of them?
Yeah, I had to give one of them. Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Okay. Of how many?
That's another podcast. That's not on BYU Radio.
I'm just saying, I said earlier to Johnny that I'm dating right now, so I got a couple girlfriends. I'd give up one.
Jerem, what about you? What would you do or give up?
Like King Lamoni's dead. All my sins to know thee.
Oh, come on.
That's what I would give up.
You give up all your sins.
I ain't giving up jack squat because I believe BYU's winning the game.
Mm.
So I don't need some kind of sacrifice, I think.
Mm. Wow.
We don't have to offer to the college football gods at this point. No, I don't know. I feel confident. This is one of those kind of 50-50 games. I could see where Kansas, who's one of the most efficient offenses in the country, does their thing, and BYU's defense does their thing, and it's an interesting battle. Can the BYU offense, though, generate enough because Kansas's defense is better than last year. They were terrible last year. Kansas defense has 28 tackles for loss in three games. They are really getting after it on that side. And can BYU run the ball? They have not really run the ball successfully this year. LJ Martin's 45-yard run was amazing. Punching it in at the goal line was amazing. You take those rushes out, and it's like 29 for carries for 31 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, it is mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah.
So can BYU figure that out? I am optimistic at BYU being 3-0 and flawed on offense. Because what if the run game gets going? What if BYU can be more consistently explosive? They've been explosive
on
offense.
They're not even close to their ceiling.
Not even close. BYU's pretty low in a lot of the important rankings on offense. What if they start to crank that up? Now we're talking about BYU being like a top five team in the Big 12 by the end of the year and winning like 8+. Our sort of standard of, hopefully they make a bowl game. That is gone. BYU's going to a bowl game. It's just whether they can go 7-8 or more at this point. And Kansas is really interesting. 2 years ago, you would have been nuts to say this isn't a dominating win. Lance Leipold has turned this program around. They have an actual quarterback. They have a really interesting offense that's similar to BYU in terms of its window dressing. Mm-hmm. They'll go three tight ends sometimes. They're super balanced in terms of going 200-200 plus on offense, 500 yards in two of the first three. They are explosive and interesting. But I think Jay Hill and that defense give BYU a shot in every game this year. And that's not something we thought would happen 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And that's exciting.
I did.
Everybody but Brian Logan did not think that that would happen. We hoped they'd be better, Brian.
Remember my expectations? You and Spencer asked me, and I said top 50, easily, for the difference, right?
And they're even better than that right now, which has been awesome. Jay's doing a great job scheming up BYU in a way where they're getting pressure with four at the end of the game last week, mm-hmm. where it doesn't matter who the safeties are. Which, by the way, BYU benches Malik Moore and puts in former wide receiver and a walk-on Tanner Wallen. You did not notice him. Mm-mm. Ethan Slade, you did not. Like, they're doing a really good job on that side of the ball.
Absolutely.
Also means they're being coached up really, really well. It starts
Jay
with the coaches.
It's Jay Hill, baby.
Yeah.
It's Jay Hill.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest difference is just guys are flying around, man. They're playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And I think it comes down to, you know, knowing their assignments. It's a little bit harder when you are in a defense and every week it's a new scheme, right? You know, now they have a solidified playbook where they've gotten in January, they went through it in spring ball, they had it in the summer. I mean, it's the same playbook, right? You're just adding pieces to it based off of your opponent. And so now I can get familiar with it, right? It's just like a relationship.
Yeah.
Is the scheme.
With like one of your girlfriends.
Now look, see.
I was going to say, Brian, right when I said that,
you opened the door,
I know,
dog.
Right when I say relationship, I was like, gosh, darn it. I wasn't even trying to be funny. I was trying to be serious right now. But you know, once you figure things out and you get more familiar with it, then it becomes second nature. And if it becomes second nature, you don't have to think anymore. You just do. And then that's when your athleticism and you know, certain characteristics like your speed or, you know, your physicality really, really shines. Because if I'm thinking and I'm a step behind, like, who cares if I run a 4.3, right, versus, you know, my opponent who runs a 4.5? It's irrelevant. So now I feel like a lot of the players on defense, their athleticism can truly shine. And we've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is the turnovers. It's one thing to execute and to make a play. So if I'm a corner, you know, covering my guy, that's good. You're supposed to do that. Getting a pass breakup, you know, cool. Like that's good execution. But then take it to the next level, getting that interception where now that play potentially can change the game. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we're seeing, and we're seeing it in you know, somewhat crucial times. And I think that's the biggest thing is finally being able to see, like, hey, we got talent. Yeah.
BYU's got talent. Right. Start a show. Yeah, guys, we're gonna take a quick break, but coming up after an emotional win, how could BYU avoid the letdown in Lawrence? This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain with Jerem Jordan and Brian Logan. BYU was a 10-point underdog on Saturday. Hardly anyone in the national sports media thought they'd win. and came in classic BYU fashion, got the upset in SEC territory on the road in its first true test of the season. However, BYU does have a tendency for letdown losses after emotional upsets. Here are some examples. Brian, let's start with your years, 2009.
Here we go, Florida State.
Massive win to open the season in Jerry's World against number 3 Oklahoma, beat Tulane the following week. Lose by 26 to Florida in Provo. I'm not trying to rub Florida in State. Some old wounds. Yeah, Florida State, excuse me. 2010 as well, Brian. Looking at you, beat Washington to start the season, then lose to Air Force by 21. So this, I mean, these are not, this. We're not blaming Brian and Broncos Band of Brothers.
No, you don't, I do.
I blame myself. I blame myself for 2009. I blame me.
No.
I individually lost that game. But you know what? I just forgave myself. When was that interview that I did? When I expected, it was around that time. Spring ball ish yeah. is when
you
I,
forgave yourself.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
need. I mean, it's been a long time.
I have not,
Brian, but I will eventually.
it's all good, man. It's all good. But you know what?
We may be forgiven, but we have not forgotten.
Just because I forgave myself,
it is blotted out.
Just because I forgave myself does not mean I don't blame myself still.
Okay,
I still blame myself.
Let's move on because I don't want you to do this. Listen, okay.
That's another pod.
Another
debauchery of the 2010 Florida State.
Brian's therapy sessions. 2015, Hail Mary went at Nebraska Boise State to start the year, then loses the UCLA and 31-0 at Michigan. On and on and on. Truly, you can keep going. 2022 blowout win at USF, win in double overtime against 9th-ranked Baylor. Next week, they get blown out against Oregon. So that it's a tendency. This could just be the ebb and flow of college football. But as BYU fans, it's like Brian said at the beginning, we say classic BYU, right? Mm-hmm. They come out, they get a big win, then they go out and lose. So my question for you, Brian, from a player's perspective, why do those losses happen after big emotional wins sometimes, or is it just the normal part of college football?
I think specifically for BYU, it has to do with the lack of depth.
Yeah.
You know, usually those big games, are going to be against big P5 opponents.
Yeah.
And you come, you know, being a G5, right, and not having the depth, especially – when you consider the honor code and things like that, all the challenges that BYU has when it comes to recruiting, you get banged up. And, you know, there's times where a guy may not be out the next week, but he's pretty depleted physically. And there's nobody that can, you know, essentially step up. So now I'm going into this next week, you know, 75%, 80%. And that could be, you know, all of my starters across the board. I don't think that'll be the case this year.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that I was shocked was nobody really left hurt. Oh, what? Somebody left hurt, right?
Crew got a concussion.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah.
It's been pretty good,
right?
Knock on wood, right?
And not only just throughout the season, but I mean, going against like a high powered like opponent like that,
physical,
right?
powerful, fast team,
and I was like, oh man, that's something that is underrated, like that. We're not really talking about right now.
Shout out to the strength and conditioning team at BYU.
Right. And that's new too. Right. Yeah. So I don't think that would be the case, you know, this year. But I think from an individual standpoint as a player, you just gotta have a mindset of winning every single down. Like mm-hmm. every down, I need to win this. So snap of the ball, I did my job, I executed, boom, I beat my opponent, on to the next play. If I get beat deep or if I, you know, get an interception, every play you got to have a mindset is I need to win this down. And that keeps you from being, you know, complacent. It keeps you even keel. And any type of exterior, you know, factors is easily blocked out, you know, having that mindset. And I think that the greats do that as well. It's like, I don't care what I did this last play. I don't care what you did last play. I'm going to beat you this play.
Yeah. Jerem, how do you feel like the Cougars can avoid having that happen against the Jayhawks on Saturday?
There's two reasons that it's happened in the past, in my opinion. One, BYU is not as good as a front runner as they are as an underdog. BYU loves being an underdog, and they went in as a 10-point dog that went down to 8 last week. This team blew out BYU last year by 3 scores. Oh, no one thinks we can do it. Like, BYU operates really well in that space. Moving forward, BYU's got to figure out how to deal with success better. If BYU beats Kansas, the Cougars then get ranked. If BYU then beats Cincinnati, which I believe there's no way BYU loses that game. First Big 12 home game on a Friday night conference weekend, BYU ain't losing that game. BYU would be 5-0 and inside the top 20. They will have to operate in October against TCU, Texas Tech, and Texas as a team that looks pretty good. Yeah. BYU operates better when it's an underdog. The other thing that is helping this is the ramp up to being in the Big 12 by playing more difficult schedules has helped BYU prepare for this way more than when Brian played, where, yes, the Mountain West was really good with TCU and Utah, but you had some weeks where you knew you didn't need to have your best kind of game or something spectacular to win. Mm-hmm. Now BYU, after playing some really tough schedules, and I complained about that for a long time because we didn't know the Big 12 was going to happen, but in hindsight, it's like, oh, BYU has been better prepared for this moment.
Yeah.
This moment being a league game coming off a big win where you've got to go win that game. And every league game is big. Like Iowa State, Oklahoma State, West Virginia don't look that good. Those are big games because it's the same amount of wins in the conference. Yeah. Like you are competing for a certain bowl, for a certain amount of prestige.
And the difference, to his point, the difference with the Mountain West, like maybe a Wyoming, we could compare Wyoming and the Mountain West to like a Iowa State, right? That week of practice I'm probably going to go to class the week of Wyoming, you know. probably going to do homework, you know. You know what I mean? I may take a day off for, you know, mentally, physically, whatever the case is, because I know my opponent. Iowa State may be the worst, you know, team in the conference. I'm just saying scenario-wise. And nobody on this team in this program is going to have that mindset
because they see P5
exactly
the
caliber of player. Yeah.
Maybe at some point BYU gets more lax when they're more successful, but that's an issue to me. It's like you got to handle success really well. You got to show up, and like if BYU were somehow able to win 8 games this year, that'd be incredible. That would mean they'd go 5-4 in league. That'd be pretty good with 4 losses.
Right. Yeah.
So let's figure it out. How does BYU avoid a letdown? They got to take that same mindset into this game of, oh, look how good Kansas is. They have one of the best offenses in the country. They're the Power 5 team. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I think he's probably 1 or 2 in the league with Quinn Ewers of Texas. Those are the top 2 to me. He's the preseason offensive player of the year in the league. That's how much people like him. So BYU's got to show up. That defense will be challenged.
Yeah.
If they can create turnovers like they have, plus 5's 9th in the country right now. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Now you can get it done. The pressure's really on the BYU offense, though.
Yeah.
They've got to go toe-for-toe with the Kansas offense.
I think, I think to your point, during independence era, BYU could almost take a breath in between games. You know, I mean, there were some games that were like,
September.
Let's take a breath. Yes, get through September. They
had 4 P5s.
Yes, and then there were some interesting random games thrown in there. And so it's different. It's different this year. BYU's a Power 5. They're fighting for a title. Every game means something. I know people hate when you say that, but it's just the truth.
I've talked to so many players that have admitted after their career, once we lost once or twice, it was like, well, we still know we're going to the Independence Bowl, so what?
Yeah.
They still might go to the Independence Bowl this year, which would be, frankly, a bummer. We're hoping for something different.
Not this again.
But, like, think about it. In BYU history, it was always like, okay, if we win, we're going to the holiday. At first, it was awesome and got old. Yeah. Vegas Bowl, got old.
Yeah. Yep.
This is all new. There are 8 different bowl games, potentially, for BYU here. And if you had a spectacular, incredible, amazing season, college football playoff, Sugar Bowl, those are possibilities for BYU like they've never been possibilities before. I'm not saying they're going this year, but I'm saying in the future, you really have something to look out for. And the 12-team playoff next year, it's like, can you approach that? Can you be interesting? 9-3 would be way different than 9-3 as an independent. So there's this context throughout the season and what the ultimate prize is that's really exciting.
Absolutely. A lot of guys stepped up for the Cougars this past week against Arkansas. So today I want to talk about, and we're making this really quick and spitfire, about which players we believe are going to make the biggest impact on the game against Kansas on Saturday and why. Offense and defense. We'll start on offense. For me, the entire offensive line. Can I say that? It's my show. I am going to say that. Kansas gave up 150 rushing yards to Nevada. The most rushing yards BYU has had is 112 against Sam Houston. Whoa. Like, that is unacceptable. And I know we've talked about that over and over again on every show, that the rushing game just needs to happen. But I think everyone in that group needs to step up, starting with the offensive line. If BYU can get the run game going, it's going to open up so much more. Passing game has been fine for the most part. I think the passing game can be great if the run game gets going. Defensive side, Eddie Heckard's the man. Can we get this guy for another year somehow? That's what I kept thinking during Arkansas. I'm like, we need this guy for another year. Kansas had 298 passing yards against Nevada. Eddie knows how to wreak havoc. He just does. He's fantastic. I think he's going to be a difference maker against a really high-powered Kansas offense. Jerem, let's go with you next.
Ryan Rico needs to continue to put BYU in position to play good defense, get short fields. Keaton Slovis can crank it up a notch as well. He didn't complete a ton of balls last week, 13, but he had two touchdowns. Obviously, Parker Kingston had the one touchdown. I agree on the offensive line, and the BYU receivers need to do a little more. Cody Epps, Keanu Hill, yeah. Let's see them step into the limelight a little bit. Darius Lassiter against his brother Quinton. That's going to be fun.
That'll be cool.
His brother plays on the other side. In fact, their dad had an interception for Kansas against BYU 31 years ago.
In 1992. Two.
In the Aloha Bowl.
That's funny.
And then on offense, continue to score, but you gotta get more yards. This is going to be a stat game. Like, this might be a game in the 40s. I didn't expect a game in the 30s with Arkansas. This might be a game in the 40s.
Brian, who do you think on offense is going to be the player of the game?
Who I think is going to be or who needs to be.
Who needs to be, yeah.
I think Keaton Slovis needs to. I agree with Jerem. I would like to see the ball come out faster for him. It feels like we're somewhat seeing a progression. I don't want to say he took a step back because, I mean, collectively, like, when you look at a quarterback, we're looking at the offense, right? And we're kind of seeing, I don't know, more rhythm. Somewhat, it looks like he's getting more and more comfortable, but I guess I'm just looking more for that breakout game. And that breakout game meaning, like, he's almost perfect. And he doesn't have to be, like, go 40 for 40 or do, like, a Zach, you know, Wilson. But I would like to have a feel and a vibe where the defensive coordinator on the other side is like, oh, shoot. Like, what? Nothing I
you
throw
want him
at
to
this
be
guy.
Scared of him.
Nothing
yeah.
I throw at this guy. He's working. I want it to be that type of feel where he's just dominated.
Yeah. What about the defensive side?
The defense, everybody. No, the D-line. I think the D-line. I was really surprised what they did last week. I thought that they were blitzing because we don't watch the game film, the coaching film. We just watch the broadcast film, and then I was listening to Coach Pittman's post game, and he was asked that question, and he was like, they weren't blitzing, they were just bull rushing us. They were just, yeah. And I was like, what?
Pressure with four, baby.
Oh my gosh. and so as a DB, as a corner, you know, especially. It's a completely different game when the quarterback is moved, you know, off platform. When the quarterback has just a little bit of a distraction, I don't care if it even is a little fingernail, you know, in the face. It messes up the timing. It messes up the chemistry that's been built with the receivers, you know, throughout the week, and it helps the defense as a whole. But if you can, if I could have more people in coverage, like more linebackers underneath me, and my D line can still, you know, get home. I mean, yeah. So I would say the D line. And then, you know, Jerem said earlier, you know, you have a mobile quarterback, you have a explosive rushing game, running game, and so yeah, I think it's a lot of the pressure is going to be on the D-line.
Well, it's going to be an exciting game. Hopefully lots of points are scored on BYU's side. Mm-hmm. And a lot of pressure brought by the BYU defense. We'll see what happens. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time in your busy schedules to come and be on the show with me.
Thanks, Lauren.
No problem. I'll bring my girlfriend next time.
Yeah, your five girlfriends. And that does it for us today. Thanks again to Jerem, Jordan, and Brian Logan for coming on the show with me. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.